Susan, you just refused. You were like, I'm not even giving it moving an inch away from my quiet time. I really love that. You were just like, nope, not even getting in the habit of multitasking. I'm sticking with my quiet time while I'm sitting.
And that was right because I have not been real good at self-care. Once I began it, I really coveted that time and how it really refueled me. And then I could handle the next thing I needed to do much better by not giving it up.
Words of wisdom from Susan, my guest today here on Quiet Your Mind Chatter. Listen in as this high school teacher and dedicated grandmother changes her hard-charging ways with the support of her higher power. We send you blessings today from Maui, here in the heart of Hawaii. Okay, here we go. Aloha from Maui. Thank you so much for joining us today. And today we are talking with Susan, who lives right up the road from me here on Maui. Susan, what's going on with you today?
Hey, everybody. I am just trying to relax some today and get rejuvenated for the rest of the week. Not much today.
Awesome. Day of rest. I love it. That's much needed. Well, Susan is one of my coaching clients, and she delightfully agreed to be on my podcast in order to help you all, my audience, our audience. So hopefully something that Susan says or I suggest to Susan will help you in some way and bless you in your life. So Susan, tell us what you do for a living and how long you've been on Maui and what brought you to the wonderful island of Maui.
I am presently and have been for about the last 20 years of my life a high school math teacher. I teach algebra and geometry here on Maui. And I came to Maui a year ago in June. So I've only been on Maui a little over a year. I was on Oahu for 6.5 years prior to that. And what brought me to the beautiful islands, because I am, you can probably tell from my accent, and I'm real stopped up today from allergies. I apologize for my voice, but I'm from Tennessee. And so what brought me to the islands was my daughter and son-in-law. They were living on Oahu and had decided to begin their family. And my oldest granddaughter is 6.5, and I came once she was thought about. And so I came to be a part of that birth. And now I have three beautiful grandkids here. I'm not going anywhere. And then we all moved to Maui, as a little over a year ago, for a little bit slower pace, just kind of a change.
Thank you so much. I am inspired by your dedication to your family. I absolutely love that. Thank you for your service to your family, and then that service to our world because you're helping to raise some really awesome young people who are going to contribute to our futures. And Lord, our planet definitely needs some awesome humans to help save it. So thank you for that.
No problem. I'm the one blessed every day.
So what are we working on today? Here on my podcast, Quiet Your Mind Chatter, we work on all kinds of different issues, day-to-day things, spiritual things that you are struggling with. We will do our best to channel our higher power and tackle that and come up with some ideas for solutions.
What has been on my mind is over the summer, I was on the mainland, had a family emergency, and I damaged my left knee. And once I got back on the island, I went to have it looked at and found out I had torn my medial meniscus. I'm really struggling with taking the time that I need to give my body and mind to heal my knee. I'm in a brace awaiting to see what medically needs to be done, but it can heal on its own. And I'm just not doing a very good job of giving it the rest it needs. So I just need help. I think just getting in the mindset that it's okay for me to give myself time to heal, even though I have a very busy schedule. I'm just needing help getting that to that point daily, not just a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday or something.
Susan, thank you so much for sharing that. I know in working with you, this is something that you've been working on for a while, and I appreciate you coming to my podcast with this problem because a lot of us struggle with similar issues. We're working, working, working to take care of our families and our work obligations or church obligations or community obligations, and then we don't have enough time left over to take care of our bodies or our spirits. I have a passage from my book. It's at the very beginning of my book that I would like to share with you. My book is also like the podcast called Quiet Your Mind Chatter. As you become an expert on self-care, you will let everyone take care of their own needs. You will give with an open heart, free of self-pity and resentments. You will no longer keep score of the times when you gave more than you received. In focusing on yourself, your love will multiply. As you float through each day with lightness of heart, you will offer more kindness and understanding. You will heal others merely through your presence. And that pertains to you a little bit. Some of it doesn't, because you are definitely taking care of little ones who cannot take care of their own. This passage I actually wrote for more pertaining to people who are taking care of their adult children who are very capable. It's still good because it helps you to remember that for your grandkiddos and in everyone in your family and everyone in your life, the best way that you can help them is to be your best self. Heal others merely through your presence. So when you are with your family, they see you limping because your leg hurts, and they see you wince when you get up and move around. They see that, they feel that energy, and they see you ignoring that and taking care of them. And then they are possibly going to model that. So when they're injured, they ignore that. They ignore the messages from their body that they need to slow down. And then they're possibly going to stay locked in that same pattern that you've been locked in.
That sounds like probably what is happening. I promise you. And it bothers me because I would tell them immediately, no, you need to just rest and you need to let me take care of you. It's just quieting everything about what's around me, what needs to be done for a time for me to just put my leg up, ice it, get some healing started, and mindfully feeling that healing rather than just going, oh well, it'll be okay, because it is not okay. It's very painful.
I have a suggestion. Are you ready to hear
I
it?
am. Thank you.
First of all, I suggest to write things down because a lot of times we think things in our head and then we forget about those things or ignore those thoughts. I'm going to ice 3 times this week. That's what I think right now at the beginning of the week. And then as the week gets rolling, did I really think that? No, I don't have time for that. But if you actually write it down either on your device that you check frequently, or I'm old school, I'm paper and pencil. So a lot of things, even if I do put it on my laptop, I print it out and I have it right in front of me on my countertop in the kitchen, or I put it on the fridge or a note in my car or whatever is the best location where it's really going to actually, I'm going to see that. Or an alarm on your phone that dings when it's time to sit down on ices. So write it down in some way, whatever schedule that you decide to come up with for your self-care. Every day ice or every other day sit down on ice, or what are your thoughts for just this week, just these coming 7 days?
I think if I could really get in the habit, I'm like you, I don't write down things a lot of times, maybe partially because then it becomes super important and I'm thinking, well, I'm probably not going to do that. But writing them down gives me power. Also, I've always done lists and things like that. I thank you for that suggestion. It kind of brings it back home for something that I need to put as important. Actually, if I can for 3 different days this week and me decide ahead of time which 3 days, I know my schedule, I know which days, are the busiest, and after school activities, to sit down for even 15 minutes The doctor says 20 minutes on, 20 minutes, but that's really at the beginning of the injury. But at the end of the school day, it does begin to swell. So even 3 times this week for 15 minutes that I sat down, and along with that, don't try to be doing something else. And I really just calm myself. I think those are great suggestions for me because it's not something I do easily or often.
I appreciate your honesty about
Yeah.
your dishonesty, because it sounds to me like you think, well, I'm going to do this, but really you're thinking, I should do this, but I'm not really going to do this. And then you don't end up doing it. Where when you write it down, and whichever version you have that works for you, that's you honestly saying, I am committing to doing this. And I like that you are choosing to sit down on ice for 15 minutes 3 times this week. That's what I encourage all of my clients to do, is choose doable goals. Your doctor said
Right.
every day for 20 minutes. That's honestly not really for you. So when you're choosing goals, if you write down, I'm going to do it every day for 7 days, and you think, ah, that's, that voice inside your head, that honest voice to say, that's not really going to happen, trim it down, make your goals easier, and then you honestly commit to doing those.
I agree. I'm real big on writing things down that I really, really plan on doing because I don't like to see things left undone. I'm one of those that does check marks. I don't like to move them the next day because then I feel like, well, I didn't get these doable things done today for some reason. Just didn't.
So, do you have a meditation practice? Because it sounds like what you're going to be doing when you're sitting is meditating. You're clearing your mind, you're thinking positive, healing thoughts, you're thinking affirmations.
Probably not presently. I've had seasons in my life where I have done better. At this point, probably not, with it being the beginning of the school year, I tend to fall behind in any kind of self-care at the beginning of the school year. So I would love any suggestions you have.
Sounds like your body is communicating that you need to slow down and take breaks for meditation.
Right.
You are committing this week to essentially meditate 3 times for 15 minutes each time. That's probably what your spirit and your body has been needing. That's what this injury is doing for you. It's not, oh, this happened to me and it's awful. This is happening for you to help you to take care of yourself. It sounds like you're willing to get back on track. I suggest, Susan, that you go into the mindset that you are establishing this as part of your no matter what wellness routine. So, right now, the injury is your inspiration. So your body is saying, really need to ice this. And you say, okay, 3 times this week, you sit down, you clear your mind, you think loving thoughts, you send love to all parts of your body, especially the parts that need extra TLC. Next week, you'll choose a different goal. Maybe it'll be 3 times again. Maybe it'll be 2 times. Maybe it'll be 4 times. Maybe it'll be 10 minutes. Maybe you'll change it to 20 minutes, whatever. But each week, you'll just choose a different goal. And then over time, it would be wonderful for you to settle into a wellness routine where you see, oh, I've been doing this for a few months and it really feels like 4 times a week for 12 minutes is working for me right now. And that's what you commit to. And then your body heals and you don't actually need to ice, but you're in this mindset that I'm going to take care of myself even at the beginning of the school year. Maybe at the beginning of the school year, I'll carve it down to 8 minutes, and then second quarter, I'll bump it up to 15 minutes.
That sounds great because the seasons in my life when I'm so much better for everyone. And I have such a peace. I enjoy that quiet time. Sometimes coming off of some hard things, struggle with it. And that's when you need it the most. And I do feel like the injury, it did come at a time when I was pushing myself physically and emotionally way, way beyond. What I should have or could. So I was experiencing a lot of failure over what I was accomplishing. And I felt like the injury was like a flag Slow it down, slow it down. And I did for a period of time, but now that school started, I'm pushing, and I'm feeling it in the injury. So I definitely am excited about taking these suggestions.
Yay, that's awesome. And I'm glad that you are committing to this, because the lovely, wonderful humans who are listening to this, they can relate. They have very busy lives too, and they don't have time for self-care, and pff, you're doing it. So, maybe they can do it.
Yay, that would be great. That would make me feel good.
God through you. I love it. So I have another thought. When you are starting this practice, share verbally what you're doing with everyone in your family. What do your grandkids call you? Do they call you grandma or
Nani,
Nani?
since it, yeah, it was a whole, since I was in Hawaii, they picked a Hawaiian name, even though it does not mean grandmother.
So explain that Nani is sitting down for 15 minutes, that you're icing because this one body part needs a little extra attention right now. But even after that heals, Nani's going to stay on track with just sitting quietly, because that's an important part of spiritual fitness as a human being, is sitting quietly. And Nani loves you, and she's going to be right back with you right after this timer goes off in 15 minutes. But it's important for each of us and our family to take care of ourselves. And some things we can't do for each other. We have to stop and take time for ourselves. Keep repeating that, because they're used to having you help them whenever they need help. You'll just jump up and help them. It might take a few months, because there might be pushback and they might not be real happy about you taking time, or maybe they'll be really supportive. I don't know. But either way, when you verbalize what you're doing, you're teaching them how to care for themselves, and you're doing it in a loving manner. And it's not that you're just ignoring them and I'm being selfish. That's not at all, because that's sometimes what we think, especially as women, that if I take this time to myself, it's being selfish. No, it's self-care and self-love. And then when I come back to you after this time, whoo, I'm going to be relaxed and much more patient to deal with whatever you got going on with you over there.
Great suggestion. And I want them to grow up with that example. I have two granddaughters here on island and one grandson, which he's 15 months old. There is no communicating or stopping him. But I want them to feel that as young ladies, as they grow up in society, that doesn't always give them that example.
We get to claim our own path. We get to choose self-care. We get to choose time for ourselves. If other people support it, don't support it, that's their own opinion. That really has very little to do with us once we become adults. As young people, when we're living with our parents, we don't have as many choices. But within any framework, we all have choices to choose our attitude. And a lot of times we can choose our actions as well.
Sounds good.
Well, I will check in with you as usual about once a week to support you and help you to stay accountable.
Thank you. Thank you. That's not a bad idea.
And I'm looking forward to hearing how God heals you through this new practice that you're establishing.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to walk this with you. I know God's there, so that works.
Part two of Susan's journey toward health is coming right up after I tell you about my offerings, which can inspire and support you. I invite you to read my latest personal development book, Quiet Your Mind Chatter. It's available for a very friendly price as an ebook on my website, wellnesswithlucky.com. You can listen to it on Audible, and you can buy it as a paperback on Amazon. You can preview my coaching services by participating in a small group online spiritual retreat. The next one coming up is March 23rd and 24th. You can see videos about all of my offerings at wellnesswithlucky.com. Welcome, Susan. It's so great to have you back.
Thank you for having me back on your podcast.
Susan and I have been working together every week for a couple of months, and I'm excited to have our listeners hear about the progress that she's been making. When we first started working together, our primary focus was on her knee. bless her knee, it had been hurting and she'd been running it ragged and not giving it a whole lot of rest. So suggested that first week was to sit for 15 minutes while meditating 3 times a week, just for that first week, and then after the end of that week, choose a new goal. Tell us how you've been doing with your knee since that first week and beyond.
That really helped me refocus my energy more inward so that I could meditate on other things rather than how bad my knee hurts. Pretty much ended up sticking with that regimen. It seemed to work well. Then I added where I was icing it. In addition to just sitting, I would ice it, really just take my thoughts away from day to day. And just use that time to self-reflect and meditate and just get a better vibe going. I changed it from icing to heat, and I plan on continuing that to just have that time, even if I do need to do something else, but to still take the time for myself away from up, moving around, to sit through the whole process of healing, my knee.
Thank you for sharing that. And I love that you were tuned in to your body. It had been suggested to you to ice it. You were doing that and then realized that wasn't working. So you switched over to heat and that worked better. So I like that you've been tuned in to that. And also, I wanted to share with listeners that once Susan got on the roll of 3 times a week, sitting for a certain period of time and that meditating during that time, she was in that groove and that was working for her. I suggested that in addition to those meditation knee care sessions, that she, if she wanted any additional times that week, you know, to sit a fourth time or a fifth time that week, she could sit for that 15 minutes and heat. And grade papers. She's a teacher. She's got lots of responsibilities or, you know, some multitask. And she just, Susan, you just refused. You were like, I'm not even giving it, moving an inch away from my quiet time. I really love that. You were just like, nope, not even getting in the habit of multitasking. I'm sticking with my quiet time while I'm sitting.
And that was right because I have not been real good at self-care. I haven't had an injury in a long time or anything. And so I pushed through minor things. And with this suggestion, and once I began it, I really coveted that time and how it really refueled me. And then I could handle the next thing I needed to do much better by not giving it up.
Can you describe what you do mentally and spiritually during that quiet 15 minutes? Because some of our listeners might be looking for specific suggestions. Okay, yeah, I'm supposed to sit here and be quiet in my head for 15 minutes, but how do you do that? What does that look like? So tell us what that's like for you.
I can't sit quiet without more of a focus or a purpose. It doesn't work well for me because then my mind goes everywhere in the world. For me personally, what helped me was, and it wasn't always like a favorite verse in the Bible or anything in particularly, it just is whatever at that moment I happen to open up. That's how it started my quiet time. Was reading a verse or two. I didn't overwhelm and try to read the book. I just would do that, and it started putting me in a mindset where then I could think for me, I started thinking through thoughts of things I did need to think about in a very clear, focused way without being distracted. And it was never about school. I made sure it wasn't. It may be about something personal that I needed to take that time to think about in my head and process what was next or whatever. But that's how I got started. I always started with the spiritual filling myself up, even though I always do that in addition to that time. But that really helped me get my mind clear of everyday things. Does that help?
Yes, thank you for that. So, did you open your Bible to random places, or do you have favorite places marked, or was it a different book? Was it a daily devotional? What kind of literature did you look at?
Okay, I didn't do my daily devotional that I always do. I purposely didn't do that because I felt like this is an addition.
I was being blessed with and taken on due to our interaction. It was kind of the bonus, the icing on the cake. So sometimes I literally just, which I have all kinds of papers and markers in my Bible. So sometimes I just opened it, would just start reading a verse or two, but I did keep it short so I didn't just get off and that's what I was doing, and not have that quiet thought time that I needed. Other times I would pick a book. I did James several times because it's upbeat. I would do Psalms, I would do Proverbs, I would do not real heavy books, but sometimes I just let it open. And that's kind of all over the place, but that's how I did it. I didn't ever plan this time as a planned time. Like when I sit down and I do this, I'm doing that because that's my nature, is to have an agenda. And I chose to not have an agenda so that I would just be let more of the spirit move what I meditated on.
And did you have conscious contact with your higher power during this time? Did you pray? What did that part of this quiet time look like?
Absolutely. A lot of times I would start it out in the word and reading something. And sometimes it led me into a thought that I needed to pray about right then that I was led to pray. Many times then I just took that quiet meditation time, which is not easy for me, as I've told you. It's not easy for me to be still and do that. So sometimes I would just have my eyes closed and just literally try to wipe thoughts out for a period of time and then just let the spirit put thoughts that I needed to process. And then I always ended up in prayer. If I didn't do it at the beginning, that's how I finished my time. I didn't really set a timer, but it was just so weird because it, without even consciously setting a timer, it was always right about that same 15 minutes.
Nice, partnering with God, we're for self-care. Excellent.
And also, I wanted to point out, because you'd suggested it, and if it's okay, I wanted to point out something, and it really did help me and became very advantageous, I think, in my relationship with my grandkids, which super close to. They're 6'4", and then I have a 19-month-old little boy. The other two are girls. You had suggested, I let them know about why I was doing it or what I was doing it for. And I shared with you once, that I did because I was over watching them. I really appreciated that suggestion another time when I was there. And that's not the time I was going to take to ice my leg or put heat on or whatever. And my 6-year-old granddaughter and 4-year-old both went and I said, "What are y'all getting?" And they out of the freezer, they got ice packs, they got a towel. They're like, "No, you can do this right here, right now. We'll be real quiet." And so I really appreciated that. It helped them to join in on helping to care for my situation with my knee. So thank you.
That's beautiful. You're welcome. And thanks for taking my suggestion. I'm so glad that, first of all, you're caring for yourself. And then, secondly, you are being an excellent role model in the life of your grandkids so that they see you caring for yourself. Even though you have other chores to do, they have needs. You're taking care of their needs and you're taking care of your own needs, and you're verbalizing that, you're communicating that, and they are happy to help you there. And then that makes, I would imagine, makes them feel good that they get to help you. It's not just they're the kids and they're the receivers because they don't have anything to contribute. They get to contribute to your well-being as well.
Absolutely. And so, what we would do if I was there, and then they were insistent on no, just sit here and put ice on it, even though I really wasn't wanting to do that right then. But then, I would go get books. And so then, we always read together, we read a lot. Then it just turned it into that bonding time. And like you said, they were so excited. In fact, they still will just say, when they know I'm coming, which is often, "Do we need to get ice ready for you?" I'm like, "No, I think I'm gonna be good, but thank you."
New routines, new healthy routines. I had read a little bit from my book, Quiet Your Mind Chatter. As you become an expert on self-care, you will let everyone take care of their own needs. Instead of overextending yourself, self-care will become a loving daily practice. So tell us where you are on taking care of your own needs and also taking care of everyone else's needs. Are you right on target? Are you still overextending yourself a bit? Tell us about that.
I probably have strayed away from it a little at times, more than I would like to admit, with school being a little more stressful right now with end of quarter grades and responsibilities from there. I've gotten in that mode of I'm doing these things, which then puts me in the mode also of caring more for others than and not taking my self-care, is putting as much attention on that. I have been able to, with these meditation sessions and stuff, and I've enjoyed it and I've been rewarded mental, emotional, and spiritually. I may not get three times in, but I do make sure I get one time in during the week and preferably two times, and then once on the weekend. I still stop and do that. I think that it's balancing out. Maybe one week I may do more, and then I didn't get as much done the other week, but I am staying, it's staying more at the forefront of my mind, because I'm more of a caretaker for others than myself. But with this knee injury, it has really set me back some, and I feel like there is a purpose, because it has made me to reflect. And thanks to all the suggestions and the accountability, I'm not giving it up at all.
I'm glad to hear you're not throwing in the towel and you're making progress. As your coach, I'm going to insist that you keep striving for three times a week. So let me ask you this. So some of the weeks that we work together, I created a paper and pencil homework assignment and I printed it out where it had kind of like a timesheet where you wrote, well, I'll just read it, what it says here. Susan's homework due to Lucky, and I wrote the date that you needed to physically check this off, write it down, and send it or give it to me. Every day upon awakening, ask God to help you care for yourself that day. And then sit 15 minutes, meditate three times this week for an A. So for an A for that week, you needed to sit three times. And for an A plus, you could sit 4 to 7 different days. And then I broke it out to meditate for 15 minutes on Monday and or Tuesday. And then you wrote down the time you began your meditation session on Monday or Tuesday. And then again, you needed to meditate and sit and bless your knee Wednesday or Thursday, one or both of those days. And then once during Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. So was that paper and pencil assignment helpful to you? Or would that keep you on track in the future to have a physical piece of paper in front of you that you need to fill out and either turn into me or just show to someone, even to yourself at the end of the week?
Actually, what I did from that, that helped me set up that pattern. Then I took that after you did that twice. Then I just set those reminders up in my phone and kind of took that as an incentive to set it up. And then in my task list, my to-do task list. And then if I didn't, because I am a list person and I do like A pluses.
Me too. List A pluses. Absolutely.
I do. I guess that's why my students sometimes I get frustrated because I'm like, strive for an A plus. So then, you know, we'll move it if I don't check it off, because I'm real big on that. Can't not be checked. It has to be checked or moved. It has helped me to, even if I get past the Monday, Tuesday, then, or even Wednesday, then I know I'm going to do it the next few days. So I think I'm good, because I use that as my pattern to self-monitor that in my phone, because my phone is going to be somewhere near me. And then if I don't get it done on Monday or Tuesday, then I set alarms so that I can't overlook it, because I don't want to get below an A.
Excellent. You are an A student, and I appreciate that. We love those achievers. They're easy to work with as clients. I have two more questions. So you and I had talked about you sitting in your classroom way more often and jumping up and moving around your classroom less often because that is way easier in your knee to stay in a seated position. And you use a projector, you don't actually need to stand up and walk around the room, walk to the front of the board to write anything down because you use the projector and the slides. And tell us about the progress you've been making on that.
It was a total fail to start with. My impulses kept kicking in for the first few days, and somebody would raise their hand or something. I'm like, just go to them, and I would get up and down. By the middle of last week, I did not, and I would stay up front because my desk is in the back of the room. I would stay up front, project everything, talk to them, but not get up and go to them personally. And then when it was their time to work, I'd go back to my desk and sit, and they'd raise their hand. I just motioned, come back here, come back here. And they were just like, but miss. And I'm like, no, you gotta come to me. I'm not getting up right now. They fussed and grumbled some, but they would stand in line. And I'm like, it had gotten where it really was weighing on me getting up and down so much. And God allowed it to be enough of a physical pain that it prompted me, like, no, I'm not getting up. I'm just gonna sit here. So I didn't do well at first when you suggested it. I tried, but then I was just like, oh, I just go. But then, so this week I've kind of gotten most of them a little conditioned. Don't just raise your hand and sit. Look at me, and I'll motion for you to come there.
I appreciate your tenacity. And did you explain to them similarly that you did with your granddaughters why you're changing this pattern?
I did. I was real upfront. I told them, I said, I have been basically masking how much pain my knee is in. And I said, I'm just letting y'all know it hurts a lot. I'm in a lot of pain. And I cannot get up and down at this point as much. So I appreciate it. I had several students at the end of class, the last couple of days of class, come by and say, I'm so sorry. If you need me to get you anything during class, just let me know. So you're right. It only blesses them when they get to help.
I love that. And that does bless them, that it gives them a chance to show kindness to you because as teachers, we are in delineated roles. I'm teacher, you're student, I teach and you receive and you learn. And that's not true. We learn so much from our students and we learn so much as humans from each other and letting them know that they are helping you. And I suggest that you continue saying that at least once or twice a week to each of your classes. Thank you so much for helping me take care of myself. It's a blessing to me that you're coming back to my desk and asking questions. And thank you for understanding why I'm sitting so much. It's really kind of you to be so understanding because you think that and you feel that. And then when you verbalize that, they receive that. And then they understand what's going on with you. There's understanding within the classroom. And we forget that you told them once, but we have very finite memories as humans. So reminding them can help them feel appreciated. And I know that's a tool that can be really helpful is saying thank you, even for seemingly silly things or mundane things, saying thank you for allowing me to sit more in the class as your teacher. That can create a more positive classroom and recognize that them being kind to you while you're sitting is a gift to you.
I second and third that. That is exactly. And I do have to remind myself that a lot. But just when those few students, to me, that was my reward that confirms you're taking that blessing away from, especially some of those students, that they have that kind of giving.
And also verbalizing in your classroom, thank you for helping me to sit more. When you say that out loud, that's your own accountability too, because when you jump up to do something else, you'll remember, oh, I just told them, thank you for allowing me to sit. And they might be like your granddaughters and say, Miss, you're supposed to be sitting.
I do think that I could see that happening. So that's why mentally and actually in my lesson plans that I look at before class, I wrote in there, stay seated for my own. So when I look at it, I'm like, nope, I'm not going to get up as much.
Another thought I had, slightly different topic, is to continue asking God more and more for help with self-care. So when you are setting that timer in your phone or that reminder in your phone or wherever, whatever electronic device that's going to remind you and help you keep track of your self-care, yes, you're doing that. And it's God that's doing the healing. And ask God to help you keep this appointment as you're like putting little pings in your phone that are going to go off. Ask God, help me to keep this appointment. Help me to honor myself, because God, you've given me this wonderful body that comes with lots of blessings and lots of responsibility and obligations to take care of this body. Help me to rise to the occasion by sitting.
It's the last thing I do every night and the first thing I do every morning.
Perfect.
But I do need to probably do it even throughout the day to keep me centered.
Especially with those alarms, when you're setting those alarms. That's my suggestion for this week. You don't have to do it forever, but this next 7 days, when an alarm goes off, thank God. God, help me to keep this appointment with myself. It's only 15 minutes. The world will not end without me. I'm not God. Now, if the world had to go without God for 15 minutes, that would not be pretty. But you're not God. You're a regular woman. The life will go on if you sit for 15 minutes, and help God to ask God to help keep that perspective.
Great suggestion. I will definitely take that.
Thank you, Susan. It's been such a joy and a privilege and an honor working with you. And I'm just really excited to see your forward progress. And thank you again for sharing with our listeners your humble progress. You're not a superstar. You're an A student. And I'm glad that you're sharing your vulnerabilities and your progress with us.
Thank you, Lucky, for taking the time and the energy, because sometimes it takes a lot of energy to take care of others like you have me, with very good healthy solutions and suggestions. And you've been very positive and open and not made me feel like, oh no, if I don't do this. Instead, it's been a very open kind of learning process, and thank you for that.
You are welcome. I send you with blessings that something you heard in today's podcast episode will unfold in your life in beautiful ways. If your budget for self-care is nil, check out freebies at wellnesswithlucky.com. Also at wellnesswithlucky.com, you can see information about my coaching services and my online spiritual retreats. The next one coming up is March 23rd and 24th. I kindly ask that you take a moment to review my podcast, which helps others to find it. St. Francis of Assisi said that a single sunbeam is enough to drive away many shadows. Because of your review, just maybe someone new will hear my show and receive higher power's warm sunlight.